and welcome to Charity Chat. I'm your host, Rachel Conway. In this week's episode, I chatted with Paul Wickers, CEO at Hug, to talk about their innovative tech platform, which is enabling targeted assistance to be provided to those who need it most. As the economic fallout of the last few years continues, Paul and his team are continuing to work with agencies and organisations who are best placed to provide support to those across the UK who need it most. This comes out most clearly in their work with the Household Support Fund. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise from sales quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to www.workforgood.co.uk to learn more and book a free demo. Here is Paul.
Hi there. I'm very happy today to be joined by Paul Wickers, CEO at Hug, to learn more about the benefits of team gifting and this really interesting company. How are you today, Paul?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Thank you for joining us. If you don't mind, if we can start, Paul, by you telling us a bit about your background and what led you to your current role as CEO of Hug.
Yeah, sure. So I founded the company back in around 2017. And when you found a company, you get to name yourself the CEO at some point. And at some point along that journey, you become completely incompetent at that job and then you fire yourself. But that hasn't happened yet, fortunately for me. So that's how I'm now. But in terms of where I came from before that, I actually was a banker by background. I was a leveraged finance banker. That's an area of the banking world where you're funding mergers and acquisitions activity, large loans for businesses to buy other businesses and flotations and the like. And it was in the process of building that career that I had a number of business ideas. Most of them were terrible. This was the one that wasn't so terrible, and therefore I decided to pursue it. And that's led to where I am today.
Great. Well, yeah, what a pivot. And it's clear that you're a bit of an ideas guy then, that's always kind of thinking and coming up with new ways to kind of solve problems as well, by the sounds of things, Paul.
Definitely. Yeah, that's true. And actually just solving problems, being able to solve problems is probably what we should teach kids at school. We tend to teach kids the answer to things rather than how to constructively go about solving things. And that actually sets them up for a much better future if you can get them to just have that mindset. If I thought back to my childhood, you could probably spot that. And I can spot that in my own children these days. If they play with Lego and Meccano sets and, you know, maybe want to help out when I'm chopping wood and trying to make stuff in my shed of a weekend, that's really showing some sort of like problem solving skill, and you can spot this stuff in kids early on, and I think it's a very important thing to know how to do.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's such a valid point, Paul. So thinking a bit more about your current company, so can you share with our listeners what exactly Hug is and how it works?
Yeah, sure. So we're a technology company. That is to say that we have written software that is the core of our product. We do two principal activities today, and I know we're going to lean very heavily on the payout side of it. But at its core, the technology that we have built is like a software that facilitates offer and acceptance happening. And what that means is broadly that a party that has funds is able to make an offer of something to individuals. And so the use cases that we built on top of that are, one of them is gifting for businesses. So a business with funds is able to send gifts to its employees or to its customers, and it's part of its employee experience and customer experience programs. It's used by sales, marketeers, HR people and the like. So that's one side of what we do. Is gifting, business gifting. The other side of what we do is payouts. And payouts is the process of an organization's funds. In this case, it's charities, housing associations, local authorities, and the like. They have funds that they want to disperse to people, and that's typically citizens in need, people in need of some sort of financial or near financial assistance. And they're able to use our software platform in order to do it. And each instance of it is a payout. And it's just offering money and somebody accepting money. Actually, it's a very similar thing to gifting. And that's why we seem to have two things that are very different from one another. But they're essentially born from the same technological process, which our software makes very, very straightforward to happen.
Great, thanks, Paul. And we're gonna learn a little bit more about kind of one of these areas that you've been working on a lot recently. So before we get into that, can you explain to our listeners what the Household Support Fund is and how that's changed the landscape of welfare provision in this country?
Yeah, sure. So the Household Support Fund is a fund that has been specifically created, or was created around 2 years ago, to provide an additional amount of assistance and very targeted assistance to those who were needing it. Initially, it was in response to the sort of economic fallout of COVID and what COVID had done to people's employment, etc. But it's continued ad infinitum to date because the early experience of using vouchering and near money types of welfare issuance under the Household Support Fund for COVID relief, free school meals and the like was very successful. And so it's continued and now it forms part of the welfare system. So the Household Support Fund is one of the larger funds that have been made available by central government. It's been given to local authorities, who in turn often ask charities and other organisations such as housing associations to help them to find people who need it and then make a disbursement to those people, often in the form of not just money, but vouchers and the like. And it generally is trying to target specific assistance for food, for energy, for rent, for those things that people find very difficult in their daily lives and increasingly difficult in this particular inflationary environment that we're in.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. And I think it's been a common theme on our podcast for a while now that, you know, there was the Brexit, COVID, Ukraine crisis, inflation. It just seems to be never ending for lots of people. So it's great to see that, because of the success, a program like this, like there was a benefit in seeing it to continue and ensuring that that safety net for people didn't drop along the way as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's actually now it's run to quite high numbers. So in its first wave, it was $500 million. Then another $500 million was added. Another $500 million was added to that. And then they ran a program for, instead of a 12-month extension, they extended it. Sorry, instead of 6 months extension, they extended it for further 12 months. So now, in total, $2.5 billion has been pledged towards the Household Support Fund over a period of 2.5 years. So it's running at $1 billion per annum. The current funding structure for it is very long term, though, or at least is medium term. So the government levies an extraordinary tax on the energy companies. So obviously, energy prices are very high. The start of that chain are energy companies who are then making a super normal amount of profits. There is a energy levy that is levied on those, which is an exceptional energy levy at this moment in time, which is raising an additional £15 billion per annum for the government. And £1 billion of that is allocated towards Household Support Fund. So £1 billion is a big number. It actually turns out to be a drop in the ocean versus the energy levy, which itself is only a proportion of the profits that are being made by the energy companies, you know, for understandable reasons, given the current price of oil and the macroeconomic situation that we have globally.
No, thanks, Paul. And as you said, you know, the numbers sound big and maybe they don't feel as big in context, but I still think it's important for people to know because it's probably not something that a lot of people are aware of, and that's the kind of flow of how these programs and how this cash works as well. So I think it's great to hear more about that as well. So thanks for that, Paul. So then coming back to kind of your work specifically, how are HUG working to ensure that the HSF can be delivered with impact?
Sure. So the way that HSF works is it's It's a very large sum of money, which is broken down into packets under a formula called the Barnes formula. And the Barnes formula is a means of taking a central pot of money. In this case, it's a pot of money that's made available from the Department for Work and Pensions. And it splits it down first to give money to the devolved governments of Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales in a chunk each. And roughly it's according to population. And then it's given to all of the, not all, sorry, it's given to certain of the local authorities. So a county council would get it and a city council would get it. But a district council would get that hand down from the larger area that it's a part of. And so those monies trickle down. They trickle down from central government to local government, and then local government will give it to the even more local government. So a district council may get a chunk. And sometimes they also ask charities and housing associations to disperse on their behalf as well. And what they're trying to do is get the type of assistance that needs to be given. They're trying to get that money into the hands of those who are on the ground facing off against the people that need it. And that's what they do. Our platform is a place where those monies can be held, where users, so those who need to actually make a disbursement, can in real time log onto the platform and send the disbursement in seconds. They can do 1,000 of them, they can do one of them, they can do it in seconds either way. And it means that all of that flow of funds, huge flow of funds, can be done in a very controlled manner in one place where the visibility is absolute. And that means two things. It means that more and more individuals who need to be able to issue help can be inside of the platform and issue that help, but it's still all under control. But also we keep an in real time record of everything that is being dispersed. And in all payout situations, when a payout is made to a person, what it broadly means is an email arrives, a text message arrives. Something has to happen first for that disbursement to be offered to that person. And sometimes they don't get acted upon. And so you want those monies that are being dispersed to that person to not just sit in an ether forever. You need to be able to see what's happening with that so that you can suck it back in, send it back out. And so that's the core activity that we facilitate, is lots and lots of users inside of the organisations that need it, local authorities, housing associations, charities, to be able to access in real time lots of disbursement types. So anything from grocery vouchers to energy vouchers to actually cash that comes out of a hole in the wall can be dispersed to people. And they can do it in real time and they can see exactly what happened with that money. They can control the resending, reallocation of that money all in real time. I'll give you a statistic. One of our customers that used to use manual old processes to do this, where there were, you know, fraud problems and delivery problems and latency, so lots of time from an applicant saying, I need help, to actually money ending up in their hands. We can do that in minutes. Somebody else, some other old system might take a few days. They managed to increase fivefold the amount of disbursements they were making with exactly the same team size. And so what ultimately that also means is a better service, but also lots more people can be served by the same teams, and less money is spent serving that service than the money that actually goes out of the door to the people that need it. So it's also less wasteful as a result. So there are a few techniques, a few bits of detail in and amongst all of that, which is not possible to go into during this short episode, but the reality is we just made some software that is beautiful to use and makes everything run way more smoothly than it otherwise would have.
Right, that's really interesting to hear, Paul. And I think, as you said, that is where kind of Tech for Good comes in that way, in terms of like enabling people to still be able to deliver at a much better rate, and actually giving the positive results to the end service users as well. It was interesting, and
yes,
just it may be too long an answer, but maybe we could keep it short. It was interesting what you were saying about the reduction in fraud as well. So how has the platform helped in that sense as well?
Yeah, sure. So older ways of doing this would be quite manual. And I'll just describe something that people will be very familiar with. Like, for example, there will be instances where the assistance that you want to give is relating to somebody's need for food. And if it's related to somebody's need for food, the best match for that is a grocery voucher. However, in older methods, a central government office may actually have had a safe stacked full of, say, Tesco gift cards, and that might have been how they did it. Now, that's very tricky because that means somebody's got to go to the desk, they've got to hand that over in an envelope, keep some sort of record of it. Very, very difficult. Quite easy for that person to, for somebody to come along, pretend that they had an appointment to pick. And when it's not, when the activity has manual processes around it, it's really open to fraud instances happening for lots of different reasons. When you go paperless and fully traceable, it's much harder for that to happen. You can control access in a much more controlled way. There is an audit trail of everything that's happening. And it's for those reasons why fraud has been able to be radically reduced by platforms such as ours.
Great. Thanks, that Paul. And yeah, such a like really simple example to show how that works. So thanks for sharing that. And then I think finally, for today, Paul, for our listeners who predominantly are working in the charity sector, how can HUG help them in different areas of their work?
Sure. So there are many, I can speak to some of the exact, I can't name the charities that we work with. I wish I could. Some of them are very, you know, very high profile. But there are, in a number of instances, there are charities that we have that typically in the past would have dealt with food parcel activity. And food parcels are one area where we can help in particular. Food parcels are typically a box full of ambient, so non-refrigerated, non-frozen foods that have to be able to survive 2 to 5 days on the road before they get to somebody. So on the road, meaning they could be sat around in an office and then they have to find their way to the person that needs it. And when you're dealing with a very culturally and religiously diverse recipient base, a box full of ambient food is highly unlikely to be exactly what they needed or wanted. And so there's a big time delay in getting it to them. And there is also a issue with what gets received by them. It's also not terribly dignified either for the recipient. And so one large charity that we work with in particular has moved its food parcel activity to being supermarket vouchered instead, so that it's instant. And it means that that person can, in a dignified manner, go along to a grocery store of their choice, and they can spend that money on the exact thing that they want, because people tend to be able to, you know, understand what is best for them and act on that. And so that is one particular type of charity. If any charity is dealing with food and they issue food but may want to issue a better version of it, then we, I'm sure, can help you. There are also a number of charities that, so what we know is that many local authorities have funds to disperse but find it difficult to find those that they need to disperse it to. And so charities can frequently find themselves a place in that chain where they can take funds from the local authority and disperse it for them. They can pass a charge back sometimes and therefore monetize that service. And everybody is a winner in that process, because the local authority gets to put funds in the hands of those who need it. The charity gets to have effectively a donation from the local authority in order to do it. And that means that the charity grows and it can do more of its own work as well. Now, we can clearly sit in the middle of that and offer a disbursement platform that actually then makes it possible for that to happen. Previously, with other types of disbursement options, it would be really closed to smaller organizations because those processes tended to be quite complex. They were quite financial services orientated, and therefore they were quite expensive to set up. We've managed to make it consumer grade software level, and therefore it's really straightforward to set it up. And so we can help smaller charities to make disbursements, perhaps on behalf really of the local authority in which they sit.
Great. Thanks, Paul. That's all really interesting. And I think, yeah, there's probably a lot of our listeners who are working in either charities or, know people in local authorities that could come and benefit definitely from the payout service that you guys run. But yeah, it's just left for me, Paul, to say thank you very much for joining us on Charity Chat today.
Thank you, and you're welcome. And please invite me back whenever there's anything that I can help with. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely. I think there was some. I mean, I think at the top of the episode, your idea of teaching kids to problem solve versus teaching them the answers. I think that's a whole spin-off episode in itself. So yeah, we'd definitely love to welcome you back. Thanks again, Paul.
May well be. Thank you very much. Speak soon.
Big thank you to Paul for speaking with us and sharing his expertise on how technology really can be a force for good. Unfortunately, people across the UK continue to be struggling both economically and socially by macro factors that are far out of their control. The way HUG has developed the support which people get ensures that individuals can access funds with dignity and still leave them with a level of autonomy that enables them to provide for themselves and those around them in the way that is right for them. By improving both the speed in which support can be accessed, as well as ensuring that those delivering services have a real-time reflection of how funds have been allocated, HUG's platform allows service providers to increase the number of individuals they can process and support every single day. The way Paul and his team work clearly shows that there is a continuing need for all of us to think more about how we can be problem-solving in our own jobs and also how we can empower our teams to be able to do the same. So thank you for listening to Charity Chat. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. You can find us on Twitter or LinkedIn to share your thoughts or email us on charitychatpodcast@gmail.com. Please also do like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode and share with any colleagues or friends who may be interested. It's just left for me to thank our corporate sponsors. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by a platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise themselves quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to www.workforgood.co.uk to learn more and book a free demo. I'd also like to thank Magda Askamit for our beautiful website. Check it out at charitychat.org.uk. Forrester Falls for playing throughout the show and for playing us out now. I've been your host, Rachel Conroy. Thank you again for listening.